This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome to Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George, and today we have a special guest, Mr. Sean Parnell. He's a public policy consultant with more than a decade of experience in healthcare, including running the website www.selfpaypatient.com. His other experiences include writing several policy studies on specialty hospitals and the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. For think tanks, working for the congressman who was the main author of the Patient's Bill of Rights and writing for Healthcare News at the Heartland Institute. He is somebody that I think that people need to get to know because of all the disaster that's coming down the pipe with Obamacare. I think people are becoming hopeless and think that there's only one option and that they're stuck in this maze and they've got nowhere else to go. And I had Dr. Amerling on last week, and we talked about the power of opting out of Medicare, Part B, of opting out of Obamacare, of becoming your own sovereign citizen, in a sense. And I wanted to have Mr. Parnell on because he has taken it to the next level by becoming basically a one-stop shop for people who want to opt out of insurance and Obamacare and do self-pay. Welcome, Mr. Parnell, to the show today.
Thank you for having me on.
I was intrigued by your website. I actually went on it and tried to sign up as a solo practitioner, and hopefully I'll be able to do that in the future.
Yeah, right now the website features scores, maybe even hundreds of different providers for people who are self-pay patients, which aren't only people who choose to opt out of Obamacare or are otherwise uninsured, although, of course, that's a big part of it. But also you've got a lot of Americans who have high-deductible health care plans, and they wind up paying for a significant portion at least of their health care out of their own pocket. And unfortunately, as you well know, our health care system today overall is not really friendly in a lot of ways to patients who are paying directly for their own care. It's difficult to find real prices. Package pricing, sort of all-inclusive pricing for procedures, can be challenging to find. And so with the website, what I have done is try to pull together all of the different, as many of the different options as I can, so that somebody who's looking for a primary care physician who accepts cash and gives a good price for that, or somebody who needs a surgical procedure or is looking for a way to save money on prescription drugs as a cash-paying person, basically bring all of that information to one site so that people can easily find it.
That's you're doing yeoman's work, and it's also really important because the main meme right now on TV is that it's the insurance. It's not the Obama administration's fault. It's the insurance company's fault that people are in the position they are, where they're unfortunately covered, but they can't afford to use their health insurance. And those that had what they liked now are being kicked off in droves and have no other option in some instances but to join Medicaid. How long has this website been up, and how did you actually get the idea, really, to start it?
Sure. The website has been up about 3 months, but I actually started writing a book, also called The Self-Pay Patient, that has a lot of the same information and explains in more depth than I'm really able to go into in a typical blog post. But I started writing the book maybe in early 2013, and part of the reason for that was I was seeing a lot of people, frankly, on both sides of the Obamacare debate, basically sort of taking for granted and making public statements to the effect of, if you need health care, the only way to get it is to have health insurance. Mm-hmm. And I just knew that wasn't true. I mean, I had written a number of stories for Healthcare News when I was at the Heartland Institute. I had, personal experience paying out of pocket for health care, and I knew that there was this really, sort of rich constellation of options out there for self-pay patients. But the message that was being sent by a lot of people was, frankly, wrong. And so I thought, well, maybe I can write a book, and it would be helpful to people then that they would be able to find the different providers that are going to be able to help, are going to be able to treat me fairly as a self-pay patient. And so I wrote the book. It's actually in the editing process right now. Hopefully it will be out in early December. And as part of the book writing process, it occurred to me that, you know, the book is going to be great, but things are moving so fast. There are new companies coming up. More and more providers are going into cash-only medicine. And while the book is going to be a very helpful guide for an awful lot of people, at least I hope so, some of the information is going to be out of date. There's going to be new developments. And mm-hmm. so I decided, well, I'll go ahead and launch a blog to accompany it where I can feature, you know, new providers, new facilities that are offering real prices to self-pay patients.
You know, I find it interesting that most people don't know that it's actually cheaper to pay cash for your procedures, for your medical, you know, labs and radiology needs than it is to access the insurance. And I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, yeah, that's right. The cost that most providers have to deal with in terms of hiring staff to deal with insurance reimbursements, where basically, as near as I can tell, billing staff just spend time bouncing reimbursement requests back and forth to insurance companies who explain that, no, the right check mark hasn't been checked off and the codes are wrong. That's very expensive. And so what happens is doctors who go cash only, who opt entirely out of the healthcare or out of the insurance system, they are able typically to offer prices that are much less expensive than what it is that the insurance companies actually wind up paying. In some cases, the cash-only doctors are able to charge for a visit less than what a lot of people pay in their as a copay if they're insured.
Especially co-insurance or deductible.
Now, mm-hmm, exactly.
You're also trying to get hospitals, people to be more savvy about when they have to access a hospital. I mean, I know that when you actually get your laundry list of charges, a lot of those charges may be redundant. They may not be actual charges that really that should have been charged. Do you have a service on your site for people to navigate the hospital system if they unfortunately end up in it?
Yeah, there are a couple of different options. You know, it's difficult in the event of an emergency to, you know, try and find a hospital that will treat self-pay patients fairly. Mm-hmm. But for elective surgery and procedure that can be planned in advance, there are a handful of hospitals out there and surgical centers. One of them that I talk a lot about is the Surgery Center of Oklahoma, where they offer straight package pricing. There's not going to be an itemized bill where you're getting charged $500 for a saline solution and $300 for a Tylenol pill. It's flat pricing for hernia repair surgery. Depending on the type of hernia repair, it's a flat, like $3,100 or $3,800. That's all-inclusive, covers the anesthesiologist, the surgeon's fee, the hospital fee. And so they're a great option. For people who sort of wind up in the hospital and in a situation where they're not able to plan in advance, like mm-hmm. an emergency situation, a lot of times self-pay patients get hit with what are called charge master rates. And these rates are anywhere from 3 to 5 times, sometimes more, than what a hospital would charge an insurer. There was a case in the Wall Street Journal a couple of weeks ago where a guy went to go have a hernia surgery performed, and when he told them that he'd be paying out of his own pocket, they told him, well, that'll be $22,000, when the insurance companies only pay about $3,000 to $4,000 for that. So if a self-pay patient winds up in that sort of situation where the local hospital is where they need to get the procedure done or it's an emergency situation and they get hit with these types of bills, they can go to what's called a bill negotiation service. There are a handful of them listed on my website. And basically, you contract with them, and they become your advocate, essentially. They know how the charge master process, the hospital billing process works, and usually they can go to the hospital and say, you know, look, you're trying to charge my client $50,000 for this particular event. I know the Blue Cross Blue Shield would pay you $8,000 if one of their customers walked in and needed this treatment, will you take $8,000? And you, a lot of times the hospital will say yes, and because it's a lot easier for them, and, mm-hmm. and it avoids a lot of bad publicity in some cases. So, yeah, there are ways to deal with hospital care as well as a self-pay patient and make sure you're getting the real prices, you're getting affordable rates, and you're not being, frankly, victimized by the hospital charter masters.
That, I'm glad you brought all of that to light, because ultimately that's the amount of healthcare costs that have been touted as, you know, the reason that we're paying so high of a price to access healthcare. And that hospital drama has been foisted on doctors if we're doing that. And so I'm
right.
glad that you actually teased those two apart, because it's not the same. Doctors are the most cost-effective part of the healthcare system, but we're the front, we're the face of it, and so we get to take all the heat for all the stuff that goes on behind the scenes. Now, you also deal with accessing drugs or prescriptions. How can mm-hmm. patients? What are some of the techniques that patients can use to not, again, be gamed by the system?
Sure. There are a couple of different ways. One of the easiest ways is just to rely on generic medications. And I think over time, more and more Americans already are going towards generic drugs. One of the things that I've used myself is most of the big box pharmacies, so at Walmart, at CVS, and at Walgreens, they have what are called their $4 generic programs. And basically, they have hundreds of different generic drugs across dealing with a wide variety of conditions, and the pricing is real simple. It's $4 for 1 month supply. It's $10 for a 3 month supply. So if you simply need some medications and there's a generic for it, a lot of times just paying $4 a month or $10 over 3 months to get your prescription drugs, that's a pretty cost-effective way mm-hmm. to deal with that issue. There are a couple of other things, because there isn't a generic for everything, or sometimes some generics aren't on the $4 list. And so one of the easiest things to do is just to shop around. There are a variety of services online that essentially allow you to go type in the name of the drug, and it will basically price compare all of the pharmacies in your area and tell you which ones are, what the prices are. Again, I've used this service myself, and the range in prices can be pretty substantial. I wound up paying, I think, about $19 for a prescription drug at one pharmacy that I needed, that another pharmacy had a price of like $160. So the price variations can be very substantial, and simply shopping around online to find the best price is a really good way to do it. And then there are some drugs that are just really, really expensive under any circumstances. Most of the pharmaceutical companies have what they call patient assistance programs. And these are basically charitable programs they operate that will either give free drugs to people or will give them or sell them at a drastically reduced rate for people who meet certain income qualifications. They're uninsured and they basically can't otherwise afford the drugs. So those are some of the main ways that I think people looking to spend their money wisely on prescription drugs can make sure they're getting the most value for their dollars.
That's excellent advice. Now, under Obamacare, one of the underpinnings of it is trying to get the young people to join and pay into this Ponzi scheme, and they're making it seem to the young folks that if they don't do that, then they won't be covered and they'll be devastated and they have no other option but to join an exchange. But that's not really true, is it? I mean, there's other options, aren't there?
Yeah, there are other options, and a couple of options that are attractive and are a lot less expensive usually and offer coverage that's pretty much comparable to what somebody can get on the exchange. Two of them that I want to mention right now are what are called health sharing ministries. These are organizations that are essentially voluntary associations of individuals who basically agree to share medical expenses between them. So if you have, 1,000 people in one of these sharing organizations and two of them get hit with really big medical bills, then the others have all agreed in advance to pay for those medical bills. In some ways, it functions like insurance. It's not technically insurance, though. So it avoids all of the regulations that are imposed by Obamacare on insurance companies. There are four main ones that I'm aware of. Three of them are focused on Christians, and a fourth one called Liberty Health Share that I just recently became aware of, actually. They are allowed to operate because they are organized around an ethical common belief. One of the things about Obamacare that's kind of interesting is they essentially gave these health sharing organizations a opt-out in that if people who are members of these organizations, they're technically considered uninsured because, again, membership in a ministry is not insurance. But even though they're technically uninsured, members don't have to pay the tax on being uninsured. So mm-hmm. It's a nice little carve-out that they have in Obamacare. The other thing that people can consider, especially the young, a lot of them are probably already familiar with it, but short-term insurance, insurance that lasts for less than 1 year, is still going to be available. These don't have to offer the same menu of benefits that policies sold on the exchanges do. They're typically anywhere from 25% to 50% of what the premium for a full-year health insurance policy would be. And, those are good options as well for people looking to save money and not necessarily have to pay for the full range of benefits that, frankly, a lot of them, might not feel that they need.
Are those kind of plans offered under the big, the big-named insurance companies like Blue Cross and Humana, or is that a separate company that offers that?
For the most part, I'm sure that there are some companies nobody's ever heard of who offer these plans, but for the most part, these are companies, Golden Rule, United Healthcare, Humana, a number of major insurance companies that offer these types of plans.
And what is it called again?
Short-term health insurance.
Okay.
The easiest way to find information on them, or at least find out what is available in your area, is just to go to ehealthinsurance.com, and their little menu for individual insurance. So I believe there's a tab there that says short-term insurance. Click on that, and people can see what their options are, what the premiums would be, and go from there.
Wow. You just gave such a wealth of information in about 20 minutes. You have to come back because I know that you're busy.
I'd be happy to.
I look forward to you coming back. Hey, how can people reach you if they want to learn more?
Sure. The easiest way to learn more is just to go to my website, which is www.theselfpaypatient.com. And then my email is just selfpaypatient@gmail.com. I try and answer all the emails that I receive. And I'm happy to, give people any additional information that they might find valuable.
Well, I can vouch for that since I emailed you, and here you are.
Yes.
On the phone. once again, when is your book coming out, and the title of that again?
Sure. The title is The Self-Pay Patient, and right now it's at the editors. I'm expecting that it will be released in early December.
I'm looking forward to reading it. Thanks again, Mr. Parnell, for coming on. I'm sure I'll have you back.
Love to.
You're listening to Medicine on Call.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that throat itching and tickling, nasal itching, eye itching, skin itching, eczema, and hives are all signs of allergy? A person suffering from allergy does not always have sneezing and a runny nose. If you have noticed that these symptoms are always present year-round, you may have allergies to what you are eating. Foods such as wheat, eggs, dairy products, and corn are present in most foods. Corn in particular is present in most processed foods and soft drinks in the form of high fructose corn syrup. Completely removing these foods from your diet for at least 2 months can in some cases stop the symptoms. Keeping a food diary or getting tested for food allergies is the fastest way to find out what foods are causing your symptoms. If you think you have a food allergy, it is important to see a doctor who specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of allergy. By rotating the food into the diet once every 2 weeks, allergies can be controlled and you can still eat the food.
With all the back and forth in today's politics, it seems as though the Constitution gets lost in the mix. If you want to brush up on your Constitution, then join Michael Conley every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the show Our Constitution on AmericasWebRadio.com.
Have you heard of quantitative fluid analysis? Commonly called QFA, this test assesses your body at a cellular level and gives insight into your illness. Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center offers the QFA, an FDA-approved test that can often provide early diagnosis of conditions before they can be detected with other tests. Dr. Elena George believes in an integrative approach to medicine. She believes in treating the problem and not the symptom. Following a review of your results, Dr. George will suggest treatment approaches such as nutritional counseling and or the use of pharmaceutical-grade enzymes and nutritional supplements. Surgery and prescription medication will be recommended only when necessary. Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center is located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road Northwest in Suite 260 North Tower, two blocks south of Piedmont Hospital. They are open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. Call their office at 404-591-9100 to make an appointment and mention that you heard this ad on Radio Sandy Springs and get 10% off of QFA testing.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. I think I'm going to make a special effort to do what we just did in the last segment, which is to try to make sure that people have options and people know what that they have powerful alternatives to this Obamacare disaster. It's been very interesting watching all of the hand-wringing and the dog ate my homework type of excuses about Obamacare. I mean, I talked to one of my best friends about this, and I'm like, I've been writing about this for like 4 years, and unfortunately, everything that I've written about is coming down the pipe. And it wasn't like it was rocket science to see this. I mean, it was just common sense. You cannot put 30 million people into a system that's already bankrupt, that already runs in a corrupt manner on, you know, crony power and using doctors and patients as grist for the mill. You can't do that. And if it were really about reform, the whole system would have been changed. I mean, one of the main things they could have done is to really look at what the insurance companies do. They don't provide health care in a very cost-effective manner. Their job is to create a profit center for their shareholders. That runs, if you really think about it, critically at odds to what the doctor and the patient want. It has to. The whole point of a doctor-patient relationship is to do the best for the patient, to provide quality, and not just talk about it, but provide quality care in a time-efficient, cost-effective manner that is individualized. You cannot use one-size-fits-all to practice medicine. It doesn't work. And people who actually fall outside of the, you know, amoxicillin and and erythromycin for everything won't get good care. And what they've managed to do is cost shift. This is not new. Rand Corporation has a whole treatise on what this was about, to try to rig the system to try to change people's behavior. So they wrote, and if you look back at my blogs, it's in one of them, and the actual link to what they wrote is in there. Basically, they did an experiment where they wanted to find out how they can affect people's behavior in terms of access to health care. And what they found is if you cost shift, meaning you take away the insurance company's burden of paying for things and you shift it onto the patient in the form of deductibles, coinsurance, and co-pays, if you make them higher, if you make the patient feel the pain, then they stop accessing the system as much. They don't go to the doctor. They defer important patient care that the doctor and they decide that they need. And basically, the insurance company gets to take a premium and keep it and not pay anything out. So think about this in another way. If you're paying $12,000, $15,000 a year for the privilege of carrying health insurance, But you go to the doctor once or twice, and you pay $150. Let's say the worst case scenario, you had a big ticket item, $1,000 out of pocket. Then the insurance company pocketed the rest. You didn't use it. You can't roll it over. You can't tax deduct it. You basically just gave the insurance company $14,000, $13,000 as a windfall profit. Well, what do they do with that money? They don't use it for someone who's got a catastrophic illness like cancer, who needs to have a bone marrow transplant or something that's considered to be a big ticket item. They don't do that. They keep it. Then the CEOs take it and use God knows what to do with it, but it's not used on patient care. Then they use this to create their bureaucracy, which I can tell you as a solo practitioner is one of the most disgusting things that you can ever imagine. I actually did what my office manager does every day. I called an insurance company and I sat on the line on hold for a good 25 minutes and I proceeded to get cut off and I called back. And after about 2 hours of getting the runaround, I still didn't get any kind of in to helping my patient. I was so frustrated by the end of that day. I don't know how she managed. I have to give her a definite, you know, kudos, because she's always in a good mood. I don't know how she's able to do it. But this is what we deal with. This is what the insurance companies do to you. They want to frustrate the doctor. They want to frustrate the patient. And they have ultimate power. They get to decide what I want to treat my patients with their formularies, with their pre-certifications, with their denials, with their review processes. It's just maddening. And everything is 30 days. So if you try to fight the system, you have 30 days before they give you an answer, which, of course, they may not have gotten what you sent them, so you have to resend it again. I mean, this is what we're dealing with, and this is on an individual level. You can only imagine when the endpoint of Obamacare comes online, the single payer, when instead of Blue Cross or Humana, you're dealing with a government. You can only imagine what that's going to mean to a doctor-patient relationship when the arbiter becomes Kathleen Sebelius and in the Obamacare regulations, the quote-unquote healthcare czar is the final arbiter. You don't get to complain to that person. What they say is law, basically. So ultimately, what this system has managed to do and what they sold this as a cure-all. They said what we thought we wanted to hear, which was you can get something for nothing. You can get excellent health care. You can keep your doctor. You won't pay anything for it. Gosh, the list was endless of what they promised. And now that truth and reality is hitting, now they're denying that they even said it in some instances, or it's the Republicans' fault. I'm sure they're going to blame Bush at some point. They have no other alternative to do that. I said this in my last blog, and I'm serious about it. This is about cost shifting and transfer of wealth, but it's not from the rich to the poor. It's not going to help the middle class. It's designed to break the middle class and to drop the middle class standard to the working class and unfortunately, poor folks' level, while they tell you how happy you should be to drop to that level. You are now going to reap the benefits of what they sowed. When you get your paycheck, it's going to have more money taken out of it directly because of Obamacare taxes. If you are fortunate enough to have a big ticket or a Cadillac health plan, which means basically what a health insurance plan should do, pay for what you put in, not make you go through gatekeepers, let you access doctors who you want to access, you're going to have a 25% excise tax on those particular plans, which will price a whole load more of people out of them. And you've got the exchanges waiting with open arms to suck you into Medicaid. And that's really what's going on. When you look at how many people join the health exchanges, what few did, 3/4 of them actually are signing up for Medicaid and not for private insurance. This whole thing is just, it's a Ponzi scheme. They lied. I don't care what anybody says about, oh, it's not really true. I believe they told the truth. I mean, they're just minion and doing the bidding of this system. Stop listening to them. If it looks like a duck, it's a duck. It's not a cat. It's not, you know, some good thing. It's a bad thing. So I went on the show yesterday and I talked about Medicaid because people who are pro-Obamacare think it's fabulous that people join any health insurance, but they think Medicaid is a good thing. It's not. I had to leave Medicaid, not only because they admit they didn't pay, but it was really more patient care. I couldn't take my patients to surgery when they needed them. I couldn't give them the medications or prescribe the medications that would work. They had a Medicaid formulary of the worst medicines, the ones that didn't do anything. You could barely take anybody to surgery when they needed it because they had to jump through so many hoops. And then when they finally said you could take them, you never got paid. That's the Medicaid system. And a load of doctors, I know ENT is one because I live it. You have to go to a major hospital to get an ENT in Georgia to actually take Medicaid. Privates don't do it anymore. So now you're stuck in the system of about four hospitals, in their pipeline, in their clinics, waiting for your turn to get treated. That's reality for many children on Medicaid, on Peach Care. They're not getting care. And if you really want to talk about social engineering, if you look at those children, I see them. I've taken care of children in clinic. And you look at their medication list, I'm seeing things like antipsychotics, antidepressants, you name it. They are just drugged out of their minds. Everybody's got ADHD as a diagnosis. People in, or the children in special ed are legion. And I'm convinced, too, that this is a warehouse that you can actually drop these children into the sinkhole of just drug them. They're not part of society anyway. Let's just warehouse them and get rid of them. And it's not right. And I will not be part of the system. And I'm sure there are many doctors, thousands of doctors who think exactly like I do, who are not as vocal, but will vote with their practices and their access and their ability to even stay, to remain a part of the healthcare profession. And then the system will be over. There will be no quality doctors in it who take Obamacare. If they have any ethical or moral backbone, they're not going to do it. And so it will drop into a two-tier system. Those that can afford it will leave the country or hire concierge doctors or do what my last guest said, which is smart, start accessing the self-pay part of healthcare, which will be actually the high-quality section of healthcare. If you carry health insurance and you try to access it, you're going to get crap. And you're going to like it, they think, but you won't. So you'll be bankrupted, and you'll still have to, if you have any sense, still pay out of pocket for excellent health care. I mean, that's the future. It's not like I'm saying anything that really shouldn't be obvious to people. It's whether or not you're willing and able to stop being deluded, to stop expecting the government to take care of you, to take responsibility. And it's not just find a doctor. It's not just, you know, what's the cheapest medication. It's about looking at your healthcare choices. Do you really need to be on five blood pressure medicines and an antidepressant and something to help you sleep and you're still not feeling well? Is that really necessary? It's time to start looking at what you do and as an individual. Stop playing into this game. So just because it's on TV doesn't make it right. Just because a new drug company or a drug company has a new medication doesn't mean you should call your doctor and say, I want that. It's ridiculous. They are gaming the system and they are hoping that you're dumb enough to buy what they're selling. And at this point, the whole puzzle has fallen apart. It's actually kind of humorous if you can take a step back and look at it. It's just lies upon lies. And every time they get caught, they deny it. They blame the victim. They say that it's, you know, it's racist. It's just, it's hysterical because it's just so, I don't even know what to say anymore, except time to take responsibility for your health. It's time to stop smoking. It's time to stop drinking, you know, massive quantities. It's time to start exercising. I mean, I'm not preaching to the choir here, but this is what I do, right? So it's about do no harm. I have to at least impart this, whether you do it or not, it's up to you, but I can tell you that I counsel my patients and myself at this point that if I really want to protect my health, the best way to do it is not to get sick. Would you agree, Dave?
Absolutely. No question about it. And you know, if there is a good side of it, that's the only good side. It's amazing the number of people you see walking around that are obese. We have people in my building that we have a little smoking area outside, and people are out there smoking. You know, it's just, and I can't throw bricks in that I smoked for a number of years, but it's been 20 years, it's over 20 years now. And best thing I ever did was quit smoking.
It's, I mean, none of these things are easy to do. You get into a habit, you get into a routine, and quite frankly, they're all designed to addict you to something. You know, addict you to texting or junk food or the internet. I mean, it is a society based on groupthink and giving you some sort of hit of something that you need more of. Nothing that you do that you can't control is usually a good thing. And in this instance, they're trying to addict us to the government, that the government needs to handle everything, that all you need to do is just put your faith, not in God anymore, but in the government, and everything will be fine. And if you look at the history of what the government has done, listen, just health care, for one thing, you know, giving people syphilis in the Tuskegee experiment, using the Native Americans, you know, as dumping grounds for radioactive waste and letting those children play with it, and actually having cancer rates go crazy on reservations, to now they're doing it now in education. So this core curriculum where 1 and 1 doesn't equal 2 anymore, just equals what you think it should, is not helpful. You know, it's not. They are social engineering the entire society. And healthcare is one way. If you're not healthy, if you're dependent on a drug or a medication, or you're too sick to participate, then that's exactly what they want.
They're also flying over us with chemtrails, yeah, as a matter of fact. And nobody can seem to get a handle on exactly what they're spraying.
But it's heavy metals.
My son and I pulled over Saturday, and we took pictures of, you know, it wasn't contrails at all. And it was very easy to see the difference between a contrail and the chemtrail. Mm-hmm. And Saturday, Atlanta got it in double and triple doses. I'm like you. I'm almost out of words. People just have to wake up. And, you know, one thing that we got to turn back to God, too.
Oh, we've definitely.
We've got to become a one nation under God again.
There's nobody more powerful. And listening to these people go on and on about this, you know, the specialness of members of this administration and how they can do no wrong and they have the best interests for everybody at heart. No, they don't. They want to stay in power. I don't care who they are, Republican or Democrat. It doesn't matter. They are both two sides of the same coin. They don't have America's interest at heart anymore. This is about globalism. It's about the UN mandates. I understand that San Antonio is thinking of becoming a UNESCO site. And if they do that, then they go under the auspices of the UN. It's like they're a sovereign state. You know, they just follow what the UN says. And the UN has got its major problems. I don't think there's anything really good that the UN has done except to continue to keep poor people poor, bring the Americans down to everybody's level so they can control us. That's what globalism is. And for those who think that if they play the game, those in elite power think that they play the game and they'll be chosen and carved out and special, you're the first one they're going to come for. I mean, you're just part of doing someone's bidding so they can come after you next. It's very sad. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
Come on. Follow Sniffles to Atlanta's go-to center for breathing easy. Do you suffer from chronic sinus headaches, recurrent sinusitis, facial pain or pressure, and chronic congestion? Well, balloon sinuplasty just could be the cure you're looking for.
Follow me and breathe easy.
FollowSniffles.com. We treat the problem, not the symptom. Chronic sinus symptoms, gone. This could be the cure you're looking for.
Follow me and breathe easy.
This proven in-office procedure can have you breathing easy, back to work the next day, and it's done under local anesthesia. Get lasting relief, a quick recovery, and start breathing easy again.
Follow me and breathe easy.
FollowSniffles.com.
Hi, this is Kate Copsey inviting you to listen year-round to America's Homegrown Veggie Show every Saturday at 10 a.m.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know skipping doses of medication can be dangerous? If you have a chronic medical condition like diabetes or high blood pressure, it's important to take the medication prescribed by your physician. It is also important to remember that although you take a medicine to treat a condition, it is not a cure for the underlying medical condition. It is used to control it. For example, taking medication for diabetes will lower your blood sugar. However, if you stop taking the medication, the sugar will rise again. Changes in both diet and lifestyle, like adding exercise to your routine, are equally important. Working with your physician by following his or her recommendations is the key to controlling your disease and maintaining your health. Ask questions if you don't understand something. Taking control of your health is the key to wellness. Please join me Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. Before the break, we were talking about chemtrails. For those who don't know what those are the chemicals that are jettisoned from the exhaust of planes. And you have things like barium, you have aluminum salts, polymer fibers, silicon, other heavy metals that are actually in the fumes, or if you want to put it that, of these. And they're actually particulate matter. So when these chemtrails settle, they all settle down onto Earth. Crops get inundated with it. We breathe it in. And we end up ingesting it, because if it's in the vapor and it settles on a plant and it goes into the soil, it gets taken up by the plant. So these things are not supposed to be overwhelming our system. And I'm convinced, I mean, the cancer rate has gone through the roof. Thyroid disease is through the roof. The overall health of Americans in general has changed. And this is all additive. If you put this in with genetically modified foods, with vaccines, with all the chemicals that are allowed to be put into our food supply by the FDA, by the USDA, it's just, it overwhelms the system. And don't even add in medications which have fluoride as their base, or the medications that interact with other ones that you're taking. Your body's getting inundated. And it's a miracle if you actually are healthy at this point, to tell you the truth. So when we talked about before taking control of your health, it's what you put into your body that you really need to pay attention to now. The USDA has now allowed China, of all countries, to have their chicken, you know, enter our food supply. These are the same people who put lead in babies' toys, who've been killing pets, who put melamine in milk to make it the protein content higher for baby formula. These people don't care about your health. Trust me, they don't care about their own folks' health. But when they get to ship it out to other countries, God knows what they're putting in it. And the USDA is not on our side. If they can allow a country like that, who has a trail of death associated with their products, to enter our system without any labeling, without anything, then we really have to start protecting ourselves. The first thing you can do is start going local. If you can't grow it yourself, you find a local farmer in, you know, within 50 miles of your home, and you start doing business with them. I know a great farm in Georgia, Vineyard Farms, who has awesome meat, honey, vegetables that are in season. Stop going to the big box stores. I mean, ultimately, this comes down to money. Forget everything else. It comes down to money. Where you shop and where you want to put your funds will dictate what they do to us. And we have a lot more power. I say it every week, but it's actually true. Vote with your pocketbook and they stop poisoning us. They stop taking us for granted. They stop trying to kill us. That's what they do. If you don't empower them, they can't work. Come out of Walmart. Come out of Costco. Start, you know, going to people who are, you know, your neighbors. Start using them as your go-to store for groceries, for clothing. Keep it local. And when you make the local economy independent, then you basically choke the beast. They can't make you go to Walmart. They can make it palatable with this great commercial about how fabulous their vegetables are. I wouldn't touch them with a 10-foot pole. They don't have any kind of labeling with genetically modified food. They don't care. And I noticed that Whole Foods, after the uproar about how they were selling out and putting genetically modified food in their stock, that they were going to stop doing it because people said they wouldn't shop there anymore. It's all about the money. They've been driving us to doing things against our interests by making it cheap. Pay more and live. That's what it comes down to. And if you continue to pay more, eventually it tips the balance and they realize, hey, there's more money in healthy food. There's more money in people now know that they don't want to pay for crap. Let's start giving them something of substance, of value, because we want to make money. That's how it works. If you stop voting for the same creeps that are in there, who could care less about you, someone who sold out on this healthcare debacle to get $2 million for his state, like Mitch McConnell. I mean, although folks of Kentucky, if you're listening to the show, you have a very clear-cut option. Vote his butt out because he doesn't care about you. It's about him. And I wonder where that money really goes in his state. Does it go to every Kentuckian or does it just go to his friends? I mean, this is the same game. And every time they get a new one in, they do the same thing. Or they push somebody for a certain number of time, you know, 3 months, but they're still saying, you know, they're still spouting the same game plan. Marco Rubio was God's gift to Republicans, and now he's talking about immigration. We need to have it, and now he's all for it. Now the people are getting in his face, now he's against it. What do you stand for? Nothing. Rand Paul voted for the NDNA, or NDAA, which is that bill that lets them spy the hell on you. I mean, basically, they can come and pick you up for any reason without due process. And he voted for that. How do you vote for that? I don't care if you get in there and you're supposed to be friends with everybody. You're supposed to represent what you said you were going to do when you went in there. It's not a game. These are people's lives. And I don't have any tolerance anymore for playing the game. People who play the game and say what they think you want to hear, but do the opposite. It's now we need to be a lot more sophisticated about what our wants are. I personally don't depend on anybody except God and myself at this point. So I'm going to do things that I can control. And by definition, that means they have less control over me. That's the first step. If more people did that, this game would stop being played. They ultimately are afraid of us. And the way they try to keep control of us is keep us distracted, keep us fighting each other, keep us looking at the shiny thing while they destroy everything that we love in this country, and while they try to hypnotize us into thinking that it's for our good, or they care about it, us, and they're doing it for our benefit. They're not.
I don't know if you're aware of this or not. Mainstream media has certainly not said anything about it, even with all the criticism now of Obamacare. Are you aware of the company that designed the website and mm-hmm. who was behind that or who is involved with that company?
Yeah.
Valerie Jarrett's daughter is married to the CEO, either him or to his son. I've forgotten which. Mm. And Michelle Obama's best friend in Princeton, her husband's vice president of the company. And the company has been run out of Toronto for they embezzled basically $160 million in Toronto on a computer deal, quote unquote. And, you know, there's nothing being said about this. And it boggles my mind that there's so much there and nobody's doing anything about it. And just like you said, Dr. George, they don't give two hoots in hell about us. It's only about them and what they can get out of the taxpayer and how much they can walk away with.
This is about indoctrination. If they take us out of the game, they get to do whatever they like and have us be complicit in it. The education system is very interesting to watch because it's a very naked example of what I mean. Core curriculum, if you really looked at what they're teaching these kids these days, they're not learning how to do math. They're not learning reality. They're learning what they want it to be. They're giving examples where instead of reading literature, you're reading government treaties on global warming. right? So this is indoctrination from the time that they can get them, and they want them earlier now. I hear they're trying to get universal child care now. I can only imagine what those kids would be learning in the, you know, the toddler age. I bet whatever picture they'd be looking at and pledging allegiance to wouldn't be to God at that point, I'm sure. Once you enter that system and you don't know, you don't have a reality check of what, there is nothing that holds us together now as a country. You can't speak about books that we all read, songs that we used to sing as little kids, games that we played. They're all different. You can't even play dodgeball, oh my God, in physical education anymore. I mean, these are things that I can talk to you. We have the same reference point. That doesn't exist below us. You know, it's anime and, you know, some sort of video game of people shooting each other and just being indoctrinated into death doesn't matter. You know, I don't want to live until I'm 90 anyway. I just want to live fast, die hard, die young, or live hard, die young mentality. You know, life doesn't mean anything. It's meaningless. And what you need is just to drug yourself into oblivion, find a distraction. It's very empty. It's nihilistic. And those people who believe that cannot be good members of society because they're not part of it. And either they want to be part of the whole, because it's bad to be an individual in their mind, because in some way that makes you different is bad. And they try to make you the same by making you an outlier. You're a bully, you're a racist, you're a sexist, you don't conform. And they've managed to try to equate individuality with antisocial, with a terrorist, with someone who's bad. And when you do that, then everybody falls because of that. Because they get to tell you what's right and wrong. And they're doing whatever they want to do. This is what's so bad about it. It's really obvious what's going on in government. They're passing laws that they don't have to abide by. They're gaming the system so they can make as much Congress, come on. They can make money off of insider deals in Wall Street, which you and I would go to jail for, but they're allowed to know all and vote on it. Create legislation that helps themselves, and it went away for about 20 seconds, and they voted it back in behind the scenes. Now they're trying to, again, put, you know, grandfather out their staff members from Obamacare. Everybody was looking at them, so they said, oh, we're never going to do that. Now we're not looking. We're looking at the IT issue. They're going to vote that back in. I'm not interested in the IT issue. That's a distraction. Every little story about how it doesn't work and you get a, you know, an hourglass, who cares? The bottom line, it's moving straight through underneath. They're jettisoning people off of health insurance. The mandate for the employers are going to kick back in, and when it kicks back in, they're going to kick people off even faster because it's cheaper to pay the fine than it is to pay for their health insurance. And you're going to have a huge pool of people with nowhere to go. They can't. I mean, now that I know, you can go to, you know, ehealth.com, try to get an individual plan to keep it for a year. You just keep doing that. I would do that all day, especially if I were healthy, so that I wouldn't have to access Obamacare. I'd go into that Liberty health system, you know, or the Good Samaritan or MediShare. I would do that all day to work around their constraints so that I wouldn't enter that system. We have options. We need to use them. And that means not dropping into the sinkhole. I mean, it sounds dramatic, but a sinkhole of death. Let's face it. You're not going to be able to get what you want. You're going to have to pay for the privilege and like it. And when it comes time to you paying in as a young person, let's say you're 20, you've got your first job and you're paying every year until you're 50, 55 or 60, and you need it, you're not getting it. You're getting a one-way ticket to a hospice is what you're getting. I got to make a t-shirt on that. I got to trademark that because that's exactly what Obamacare equals. And they're going to ream the system and rake all the profits out. And the insurance companies and the hospitals and everybody else will make money on you, but you won't get what you paid for. Stop playing this game. We've given you many options. Anybody who listens to my show, my podcast, I would hope is savvy enough at this point to know how to play this game, how to stop playing this game, play your own game and win it. And we can. Doctors need to do this and patients need to do this. And those who want to be deluded, let them have this system. Have a good time. But when you really need it, you'll be asking us how to get out of it and how we need to maintain that alternative. It's very sad.
It is, it is. Unfortunately, we are out of time, Dr. George.
It's always,
you know, the message that you give is fantastic, and we put it up. It'll be up on, so people can download it and listen to it again tomorrow. Regarding your comment about the Common Core, we do a show now called Pep Talk, Politics, Education, and Propaganda.
That must be a very interesting show.
And we have a young lady that does it that knows her stuff, Nancy Juster. So tune in next week for Medicine on Call with Dr. Elena George. And as always, thank you very much.
Thanks for listening.